President Biden has promised to send more federal contracts to black and brown business owners and address housing discrimination. But the details in his plan to close the wealth gap between black and white Americans are not as clear as our next guest had hoped for. Diedrich Asante-Mohammed is with the National Community Reinvestment Coalition. Diedrich, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
The White House says the median black family has 13 cents for every $1 that white families have. That's what we're talking about when we say there's a racial wealth gap. How would you describe how wide it is?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the greatest challenges, and you know, you can look at it, I oftentimes look at racial wealth divide, not including depreciating assets, and there you see African-American median wealth at about $9,000 as compared to white wealth, which is, you know, around $150,000. So you see $140,000 gap there. So, you know, that I think shows a deep disparity in recognizing, again, median wealth for African Americans, non-depreciating assets, 9,000, why a even bump in the road economically can become a disaster. And I think as we've all gone through what I'll call a COVID recession or COVID economic turmoil, we can see how, you know, with such little median wealth, how devastating that is to communities with a little to no wealth.
I hope this doesn't sound like a naive question, but why has it persisted for so long?
Yeah, and I think that's important. It's a really important question, right? Because it's the only way we're going to be able to get past that. And my analysis on this is that, you know, we had, you know, 50-60 civil rights movement. We saw some increases in African-American income, though there's still a strong income inequality. We've seen, you know, some particularly stronger increases around education, but the wealth inequality has not bridged much. Actually, in many ways, it's gotten worse. And I think that's because as we broke down some outright racial barriers, outright racial discrimination, we moved from what was a progressive economy, meaning an economy that when the economy grew, lower and middle income people got the strongest benefit, to a regressive economy that really kind of started getting going strong in the 1980s. And it's really been continuous. I mean, even when we've had good economic times, it's been fairly regressive, meaning that higher income, higher wealth people are getting the strongest boost even when the economy does well. And I think with that, it has left African-Americans, even in good economic times, not being able to get the type of really strong boost they need to get past asset poverty, which is so strong throughout the African-American community and very strong in the Latino and Native American community as well.
Well, the president, and maybe this is remarkable in and of itself, is acknowledging the problem, right? So in general, I wonder what you think of the proposal that he laid out on the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa race massacre. I mean, if you look at that, just generally speaking, what grade would you give President Biden?
I would give him a C+ relative to other presidents, meaning slightly above average in that he has more explicitly named the problem of racial wealth inequality and used the 100th anniversary of Tulsa to say that he wanted to address racial wealth gap. I give him a fairly low grade because I don't see the two policies being able to have a very strong effect. I think the two main areas he went into was one, trying to attack housing discrimination or figure out ways to lessen housing discrimination, and particularly in terms of homeownership. But my critique of that is I think the primary challenge isn't outright prejudicial discrimination, but it's the really deep lack of wealth that African Americans have. So we need to have much stronger investments in ways to increase homeownership, not just focus on racial discrimination through prejudice.
Well, why don't we listen to the president? Here's what he had to say about housing when he was in Tulsa.
My administration has launched an aggressive effort to combat racial discrimination in housing. That includes everything from redlining to the cruel fact that a home owned by a black family is too often appraised at lower value than a similar home owned by a white family.
So the president there is saying he's going to try to fix this issue with home appraisals, which is a problem. But if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that's not the core of this problem.
Yeah. I don't believe home appraisal. I mean, again, only around, 43%, depending what stats you use, of African Americans are homeowners, so to even have their homes appraised. And also, I think there is a truth that whites generally do not want to live in neighborhoods that are over 20% African American, and that brings black home value down. So we could critique the appraisers, or you could critique the kind of white market response to neighborhoods with strong black populations. But again, I think the key way to address black home ownership is to help create a mortgage system, a mortgage financial system that allows very, very little to maybe zero down payment and provides a sustainable mortgage over time. I mean, you know, whites became majority homeowners with a radical change in mortgage financing. I think in order to get blacks and Latinos at, you know, substantive levels of homeownership, we're going to need to do that again for the 21st century.
And maybe one way to boost that would be by boosting black entrepreneurship or black businesses. Here's the president speaking in Tulsa last week on that issue.
I'm going to increase the share of the dollars the federal government spends to small disadvantaged businesses, including black and brown small businesses.
What do you think of that plan? The president wants to spend $100 billion on disadvantaged businesses in the form of federal contracts. How helpful would that be?
Well, that can be a substantive increase, but what I'm critical of is, you know, what type of effect do we expect this to have on black businesses? I have yet to see how it's broken out. How much do we think of that extra $20 billion a year or $100 billion over 5 years do we think will go to black businesses? And then we'll have an understanding of how substantive this will be for strengthening black entrepreneurship. But obviously, you know, we also need to strengthen, you know, black employment, black income. There's a, you know, whole series of things that need to occur. So overall, Biden needs to be much more clear about how his policies will move African-American, Latino business ownership, home ownership, wealth, income. And then we can judge if his policies, we can better judge if his policies are moving us out of this inequality that has been pretty strong for the last 40, 50 years, in many ways growing.
I know you've been working on this issue for many years. What do you think needs to be done to close the wealth gap entirely? And can it be done without reparations?
Well, when you bring up reparations, to me, one of the most stunning things at the Tulsa speech was that Biden did not call for reparations for the very few survivors that are still alive out of the Tulsa race massacre. I do think there should be a call for national reparations. And then the question is, what is reparations? And reparations can be very broad. You know, I think we definitely need policies that's going to repair the racial wealth divide. I put an article in The Guardian about $20,000 for descendants of American slaves or for people who've identified as black for the last 20 years, $20,000 a year for 20 years, because it's going to take substantive long-term investment to bridge wealth inequality. Wealth isn't something you get from one quick infusion of money, but it's something that has to develop over time. You know, but I also think that Sandy Darity, Derek Hamilton have proposed, and Cory Booker has put forth legislation around baby bonds, which is a way of repair focused more on a universal program where all Americans would get $1,000 upon birth. And then if you're in a lower income household, get annual increased subsidy so that all Americans would start their adult life with some type of wealth and assets. And I think that is also very important. And I guess the final piece I'll put on there is we also, as I said, a big challenge has been we've had a regressive economy for the last 40, 50 years. We have to have a progressive economy if we want to get past the racial wealth divide. So we're going to have to do something about our tax system that is providing many more subsidies and benefits to the wealthiest and leaving lower and middle class Americans further and further behind.
Sounds like a big job in many ways to close that gap. Are you optimistic that it can happen in this country, in this political environment?
Well, I know that it can happen. And I guess the positive side is that there's more discussion on racial wealth inequality than I've heard in decades. And so that's very important. But there still has not been a strong commitment and declaration that the country has the will to invest the resources. And I think that's one of the things that President Biden can do most importantly, as the President of the United States, say that he will put forth the specific measures to address racial wealth inequality. You know, obviously, no president's going to bridge it in 4 years, but you can't have targets of what type of advancements you want to see over the next 2 or 3 years.
Diedrich Asante Mohammed, Chief of Membership Policy and Equity at the National Community Reinvestment Coalition. Diedrich, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks again.